Man, I'm so proud of you and how you're worshiping. True worshipers in this room. These are the worshipers the Father seeks. If you've missed any of the messages on the True Worshipers series, you can find them on the podcast or on our YouTube channel. You don't want to miss them. Jesus says in John 4, 23 and 24, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. I have been teaching on what it means to be a true worshiper, and the waters are deep. And the first half, we talked about what it meant to worship in the Spirit, and now I am focused on worshiping in truth. So far, I have introduced two truths about a true worshiper. Truth number one, worship must be our witness. We must be the witnesses of his glory to the earth around us. Truth number two, worship is how we fight our battles. It is the way we fight spiritual battles in the heavenly realms. And that brings me to truth number three, and this is going to be a two-part series. The two parts of this one. And this is truth number three, that worship is our testimony. Worship is our testimony. Turn with me, open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 102 for today's part one of this message. Worship is our testimony. Psalms 102. Holy Spirit, great God, Almighty that is in us and with us, we give you this teaching. We open our hearts to the revelation of what you want to teach each of us in the great breakthrough in our lives. Teach us. We're ready to eat. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow along as I read. I'm reading from the Passion. Lord, listen to my prayer. Listen to my cry for help. You can't hide your face from me in this days of my distress. Stoop down and hear my prayer and answer me quickly, Lord. For my days of happiness have gone up in smoke. My body is raging with fever and my heart is sick. I'm consumed with this illness. Withered like a deaf leaf, I can't even eat. I'm nothing but skin and bones, nothing left of me but a whisper groans. I'm depressed, I'm lonely, I'm forgotten, I'm abandoned. I can't sleep. I'm sleepless, shivering in the cold, forlorn and friendless, like a lonely bird on a rooftop. My every enemy mocks and insults me incessantly. They even use my name as a curse to speak over others. Because of your great and furious anger against me, all I do is suffer with sorrow, with nothing to eat but the meal of mourning. My crying fills my cup with salty tears. In your wrath, you've rejected me, sweeping me away like dirt on the floor. My days are marked by the length of enduring shadows of death. I'm withering away, and there's nothing left of me. But then, say that with me, but then, I remember that you, O Lord, still sit enthroned as God is king over all. The frame of your name will be revealed to every generation. I know, say that with me. I know that you are about to arise and show your tender love to Zion. Now is the time, Lord, for your compassion and mercy to be poured out. The appointed time has come for your prophetic promises to be fulfilled. I'm going to stop there. Amen. What a psalm. In the kingdom, the temple built in you must be completed. Especially when it comes to receiving the answers to your deepest prayers of healing and deliverance and breakthrough. When you've been praying forever and you haven't seen the answer to your own life, to your son, to your daughter, to your situation, And this psalm sheds great light on this key truth about worship. One that a true worshiper will engage in. It is this, that worship becomes their testimony before God's answer becomes their testimony. It's time to finish the temple inside you. See, because true worshipers know that in their darkest hours, it is worship that must become their testimony, because when worship becomes their testimony, they become the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Loved ones, worship must be your testimony before God's answer becomes your testimony. In the church, so many engage in the act of worship more than the act of faith in worship. And the act of worship is simply honoring God above. But the act of faith in worship is intentionally drawing close to Him in heaven, so He will draw close to you on earth as it is in heaven. This happens when we make worship our testimony. It means engaging in worship from victory, not for victory. Because a true worshiper always worships from victory. I want to talk to three groups of people in this part of the series, in this truth. First are those still waiting for an answer to their biggest, deepest, most intense prayers. I know there are many in the room. The second are those that have been praying and have started to see an initial breakthrough. And the third are those praying for others in other situations. God is calling you all to make worship your testimony. Here's what Psalm 102 teaches us. The beginning of it, the first 11 verses, tells us our life in flesh gets in the way when darkness comes, when trouble hits us. It starts with a lament in these first 11 verses. We start with this desperate cry for help. Listen to my prayer, Lord. Listen for my cry for help. The situation with my son, my daughter, myself is urgent. I'm desperate, Lord, for you to intervene. How long will it take? I'm sure most of us have found ourselves in this place of prayer. Well, the first thing, no, you're not alone. God has not singled you out. The devil would have you think. This is the part of what Jesus reminded us. But still, sometimes it takes so long to get an answer. We feel it takes so long that our prayer turns into a physical and mental impact on us prayer. Happiness is gone, verse 3-7. I fake it a lot. My heart is so sick all the time. I'm now depressed. I feel alone, forgotten, abandoned by you, Lord. And I don't know why. So then we try to figure it out. Is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Is it that? I must have done something wrong. It's tearing me apart. I'm sleepless. I'm sleep deprived. I'm at the end of my rope. I got nothing but groans. I feel like a lonely bird on a rooftop. No sign of change. And then that turns into the struggle with punishment, verse 8-11. And this is where the devil piles on. The first part we do to ourselves. What did I do to deserve this, God? Or, yeah, I deserve this. I deserve this by the way I was. I deserve this. Then the devil piles on and mocks you with insults, telling you it's your fault, telling you God's left you. And then, God, you're furious with me. You must be angry with me. That's probably what it is. Kinds of prayers. Ring a bell. And here's the problem. we've prayed more than we've praised. Let me ask you a question. Have the tears you shed been greater than the praise you've given? There's an answer. It's part of rebuilding the temple, parts of the temple that still need to be built inside you. Verse 12 to 19 gives us the kingdom solution. We must make worship our testimony before and until we see the hand of God come and complete his work. I want to teach you how to make worship your testimony. Today I'm going to talk about the first key thing, the very first step. You must worship remembering where the Lord sits. Amen. Psalm 102, verse 12, he says, "But then I remember that you, O Lord, still sit enthroned as king over all. The frame of your name will be revealed to every generation." That means that we must turn our praying into praising, not general praises, but specific praises, remembering where God sits. He sits above it all. And in the time of great darkness, it's time to praise the Lord, remembering where he sits. See, because the temple in you must be completed for the work that God has for you to do to be completed. Because he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. God says, is he's saying this, "My loved ones, worship me in your pain, in your waiting for a breakthrough. Worship me first and foremost. Remember that I'm still enthroned as king above all. Every problem and every sickness, your worship to me must prove to me and to yourself that you know this. There's nothing, no one higher than me, so do not listen to anyone but me. Know this. If you've agreed with the doctors or someone else or have convinced yourself what's going on, they do not have the final answer. I do." God says, "Do you love me more than the answer you want from me?" Where are the Davids? Where are the Jonathans? Where are the Phillips and the Deborahs? The ones that worship and have such a powerful faith for what is yet to come. This is where it's birthed, loved ones. God wants to know if you want him more than the answer you want from him. And that means that worship must become our testimony. If our praise for him is higher than our prayers to him, that is the definition of the sacrifice of praise in the one, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:15 says it this way, "So we no longer offer up a steady stream of blood sacrifices. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Oh, forgive me again, Lord. Oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Oh, no, I need forgiveness. Oh, I blew it again. Oh, that thought. But through Christ, will we offer up to God a steady stream of praise sacrifices? These are the lambs we offer up our lips. We must celebrate his name." Why is this so critical? This is why. It's because in you, Jesus has built his temple. And now you have a part to play for him to finish his work in you. See, Hebrews 9 describes this in detail. First, the first temple was the place where all worship occurred, and it was symbolic, the Bible says. In Hebrews 9:9, it was symbolic for this present time. See, all that you read about in the temple, all of the elements, all of the things that were made by human hands, Hebrews says now All of those have a purpose in your life, in the temple inside you. And now there's a part he wants you to construct. The ark of your testimony. The ark of the covenant. That word covenant means testimony, the ark of the testimony. Was the reminder of the promises of God to God's people. And the ark of the testimony, the covenant, the testimony is what not must be completed. So in other words, your testimony must become an ark in your heart. An untouchable place. Because the ark of the covenant cannot be touched by man. Cannot be touched by the devil. It's completed when worship becomes your testimony. The ark of your testament is built. God is looking us to build a Revelation 12:11 testimony to defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the power of your testimony. That means you must build a testimony before answered prayers. To build that kind of testimony, you must make your testimony an ark. It was the strength that gave David the strength to face Goliath. It was the strength that gave Jonathan the ability to face the religious spirit against him while he was getting stoned. It was the faith before the answer became their testimony. When your testimony becomes an ark, your testimony comes beyond your answered prayers to his promises yet to come. And that's why worship must become your testimony, so that his power in you can become a nuclear power plant of testimony. See, there's an ark of the testimony. There's an ark of the covenant that needs to be built in the temple, in the holy place inside you. We must become like Moses. See, in Exodus, God rescued his people from Egypt so they could worship him. And then he takes them to Mount Sinai and the people rebel and all hell breaks loose on God's people. And Moses is up on the mountain interceding and you see this intimacy. And in all that happens, all the trouble, all the problems, what is most important to Moses? He could have been praying about God. You got to deal with these people. God, help me with all this. God, he had all kinds of things to pray about and worry about. But look at what he does, the conversation in Exodus 33, 13 to 18. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses says to this, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord says to Moses, I will do this very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And then Moses says, show me your glory, God. Worship became his testimony before God's answer became his testimony. The covenant was established and the tablets were made. And now an ark of the testimony had to be constructed. Why? Because Moses was more consumed about being lost in his wonder more than his answer to his prayer. He was more consumed about knowing him, about being with him. He was more consumed His request was more than a display of God's power. It was even more than the warmth of his presence. God wanted an intimate knowledge of him. Moses wanted an intimate knowledge of God himself. He already knows what you need before you ask. We spend so much time on our knees. Please, Lord, we need the help. God says it's time to build an ark in your heart, a testimony of wanting me beyond my answer. Because which father would give their child a stone if he asked for bread? Consider the lilies of the field. How much more your father give you? Oh, you of little faith, seek first the kingdom. Moses says, show me your glory. I want you more than anything. Yes, Moses received God's promises. Yes, he received his power. But it was his presence that to know God most, the reality that invoked a lasting sense of awe and wonder. That in the temple, he said, build the ark of the testimony. That place, that covenant. I want to carry it with my people wherever they go. See, here's the point. The relationship Moses had with God in Christ Jesus, so can we. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter was there, and John and James, they were there. They were watching. Whoa, there was Moses, there was Elijah, and there's several things that are said about Moses and Elijah. But I believe Moses represented the relationship we could have with God face to face as a friend. And Elijah received the level of anointing and power we could have to work through God in Christ Jesus. God wants you to build in your heart the ark of your testimony, a place where his word is written, his promises are written in your heart before one of them comes to bear. Not after. See, we think of our testimony as, here's what he's done in our life. Here's what God's done. Let me share my testimony. But we live in a time in history where that testimony must be what's possible, that nothing is impossible with God. Not just what he has done, but it needs to be a testimony much stronger and larger and greater in what is possible, because all things are possible in him. And the only place you learn that is when you worship, declaring the promises of God over your life. You got to know them. God says he puts his word above his name. That's pretty high. Worship him for his word, for what he's about to do, what he's going to do. The place where his mercy seat is always visible to you, the place where the new covenant in his son's blood is always visible to you. That place, worship. See, here's the thing. The ark inside you, no one can touch. The testimony that you build brick by brick because you believe in the promises of God. You believe in his very word in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the trials, not just what he's done already, but what you know he can do. The world is waiting to see that testimony. That Revelation 12:11, it's the second part. They loved their lives not even unto death. Not unto death. They loved him more than death, in other words. See, that place of testimony in you, when you build the ark of the covenant, the ark of the testimony, that same word, the ark of the testimony, in the Hebrew is the word in the Greek. we will overcome the enemy in the Revelation 12, 11 by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the testimony. It's the same word. It means that you have a testimony that is built not just on what God's already done in your life, but that you know that you know what he will do. And even if they slay me, to die is gain, to live is Christ. See, that place of a testimony, no one can touch. If they tried, they would die. The demons can't touch it. The devil can't go near it. The world cannot find it. It's your testimony in your heart. It's the ark of your testimony. It's time to turn your testimony into an ark in the holy place, in the temple in your life. The question is, are the tears you've shed greater than the praise you've given? In the present darkness you face. See, you can't outwait God, but you can miss him if your praise does not rise above your sorrow. Here's the point. He's looking for those he can trust with the more. And who are the ones he can trust with the more? See, he doesn't trust us automatically. We got to earn his trust. Who are the ones he can trust with the more? The ones that have built deep in their heart, anchored their faith on every promise he's ever made, because God is the promise maker. He's the promise keeper. And our worship must reflect that testimony in the midst of our pain. That's what a true worshiper does. That's the truth about worship. Let me ask you today, where do you need to make worship your testimony? Where, right now, do you need to make worship your testimony? The fact that in the midst of the waiting, your testimony is that you worshiped him. For 1 year, 2 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you worshiped him in the midst of the pain. That's the testimony of the one he can trust with the more. The testimony of Moses. Where right now do you need to make worship your testimony? Where you add to the prayers of him, the praise before him. Let's stand. See, it begins by remembering. It begins by remembering. What God has said. But I remembered, O Lord, you still sit enthroned as king over all. Your frame of your name will be revealed to every generation. I remembered, you sit enthroned above all of it, and I will turn my tears into praises of the fact that you sit enthroned above it all. I will make my worship my testimony, because I know nothing is impossible with God. I know that all things through Christ Jesus are possible. And that will be the testimony of praise that I will give. Sometimes we can't love ourselves. Sometimes we can't even let God love us because we just don't believe we're lovable. But what we can do is praise him. Let's worship him.
Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Wonder and surrender, we bow down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Oh. Show us your glory. And surrender, we fall down. show.